Hundreds of people have reportedly been arrested in the midst of protests in Iran. State media say at least 21 people have been killed. With me for our weekly look at the top international stories is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, we'll get to Iran in just a moment. But first, I want to ask you about China. It seems relations between that country and the U.S. will be key in 2018. What are the main areas you're looking at there?
Well, Mark, the U.S.-China relationship, of course, is central, isn't it? And these days is very, very central to U.S. foreign policy. If you look at that relationship, North Korea is right in the middle of it. It's a kind of game of chess, if you like, between the U.S. and China, which is regarded as North Korea's number one and pretty much only ally in the world. And that's why the U.S. is putting pressure all the time on China to do more to try and rein in North Korea. And if you look at 2017, it was a big year for North Korea. We saw its sixth and most powerful atomic test. We saw all kinds of missile testing. It caused all sorts of crises in world relations and headlined on world news, as you know. But as happens quite often in North Korea over the decades, things are quite ambiguous. And this week is a good example. So yesterday we had Kim Jong-un, the leader, warning the U.S. in his New Year address that his country's forces are, quote, completed. That's his atomic forces are completed. He said the U.S. should know that the button for nuclear weapons is on my desk. This is not blackmail, but reality. He went on, the entire area of the U.S. mainland is within our nuclear strike range. On the other hand, today we see conciliatory messages between the North and South Korea, where, of course, there are some 60,000 U.S. troops based. The South has proposed direct negotiations with the North to take place next week. So really, as ever, you never quite know where you are with North Korea. On the one hand, defiance and crisis, and on the other, options for dialogue and some kind of rapprochement. Despite this offer of talks, our diplomatic correspondent James Robbins reckons that North Korea as an issue will dominate this year and could have some pretty powerful manifestations, including, he reckons, the chance, get this, of an evacuation of the South Korean capital.
I'm predicting, as a consequence of this collision between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, that there'll be a mass evacuation of the Korean capital, Seoul, not just an exercise, but actually a mass evacuation in fear of a possible exchange of weapons, conventional or otherwise, between the United States and North Korea.
That is the gloomy prediction of our veteran diplomatic correspondent, James Robbins. Others have a different view about North Korea. Some people look at it through Chinese eyes, and our China editor is one of them. So the bit she's focusing on is what Trump said in the lead up to his election. If you remember, he promised U.S. voters he would deal with America's huge trade deficit with China. The U.S., of course, is running a record deficit with the Chinese. And our China editor, Carrie Gracie, was asked about this. Now, she reckons that Trump has held off pushing China on the trade issue in 2017 because he needed Chinese help in dealing with North Korea. But now, she says, in 2018, this year, Trump's posture on trade issues with China may change.
The ceasefire that we saw on that issue throughout 2017 because of the North Korea issue, because Trump took the view that he needed to give China a window of opportunity to deal with North Korea and he would give it a pass on trade while doing that, that ceasefire will be over and that soon into 2018 we'll see the investigations into steel dumping alleged and intellectual property theft alleged. We'll see those investigations come back and Donald Trump will announce a series of robust measures to try to deal with the enormous trade deficits that the United States suffers in relation to China.
So, Mark, when it comes to China, two things to look out for, really. Its influence on North Korea and really what happens there, but the role that China plays, and looking for Trump to up the ante on China in terms of trade. Those are the two things we're keeping a sharp eye on.
Rob, let's move to another world power, which is Russia. There's an election coming up in March in which President Putin is expected to win. What else are you looking out for there?
Well, you're right, Mark. President Putin is expected to win. Why? Because really there's no one to kind of run against him. But the thing I'm watching this year is Russia hosting the Soccer World Cup, which will be a monumental event this summer. More journalists are accredited to the World Cup in Russia than any other event in Russian history. I mean, the place will be absolutely crawling with journalists. And this is kind of interesting. Our correspondent, Kevin Connolly, who normally covers Europe, but he spent 5 years in Russia and is obsessed with soccer, had this to say.
I think Russia will handle the World Cup much better than outsiders might imagine. You've all seen some of the mad preparations. You look at the stadium in Yekaterinburg, which they expanded by basically building a new stand outside the stadium. So you're sitting miles away from the pitch, looking in through the stadium wall at it.
So, Mark, there you are, Russia, a hopeful view of Russia hosting the World Cup. I should just say there are dissidents. There are people who don't agree with that view. So all kinds of things to look out for around what will be a real showcase event for Russia. The world's eyes will be on Russia.
Rob, finally, we're seeing protests now unfolding in Iran. How do you see that going in 2018? And what else do you predict this year for that part of the world?
Well, Iran's been a big one over Christmas and New Year, hasn't it? We've had 6 days so far of protests across the countries, not just confined to Tehran. You know, these are pretty significant protests across Iran, the worst that the clerical leadership in that country have faced since 2009. But if you look at what's behind this, what you really see is economic issues, unemployment, corruption's a massive one. And some people not really liking that, you know, Iran is spending so much money in the region. It's propping up Hezbollah. It's propping up Assad to some degree in Syria. It's sending its forces into Yemen. People don't like that money is going there when it really should be going home, where there's high inflation, high unemployment, and all the rest of it. So that's kind of backdrop. But I think in the wider scheme of things, you know, Iran, as I've mentioned, is a big player in the Middle East. And enemies like Saudi Arabia and the US and many others would like to see Iran have a much smaller role. So if Iran is suffering problems at home and is getting weaker because of that, that is good news for Saudi Arabia. It's good news for other similar Sunni regimes. And it's good news for the United States, as witnessed by President Trump's various tweets.
All right. That's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, thanks as always. Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year, Mark.